I'm so glad to see each one of you here to reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's open up in prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, words cannot express our gratitude for your great love for us. We can't imagine, Father, giving our own child up, having them die and be punished and forsaken so that other people can have life. That's only a glimmer of your great love for all of us. We're thankful, Father, for John 3:16, where it's been made plain that you sent your Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We're so thankful that Jesus is willing to die on the cross for all people, all humanity, of all creed, all backgrounds, every era, every generation, just from Adam and Eve throughout the end of mankind. And so we praise you, Father, for that, that you provided a way of salvation through your Son. We praise you, Jesus, that you were willing to take upon yourself the mission of being nailed to a cross, bearing the sin of the world, which is an inconceivable weight that we can't comprehend, and being rejected by your Father. It's a somber time for us to reflect on what you've done for us. And I thank you, Father, for the unity of the brethren. I thank you, Father, for the church family. I thank you for every believer here, that as we are together, we're here to honor you. And I ask your Holy Spirit that you will accomplish the things that you want to through the message, through the music, through the illustrations. And I pray that you just speak down deeply to our hearts. And may we just be moved by you, blessed by you, and may we, each one of us, recognize you right here in our presence, amongst us, touching our hearts, touching our spirit, and reminding us of your love for us. So, Father, I pray you're blessed everything that goes on this evening as we have this service and the time afterwards as well. But may our hearts at this time just totally be open to reflection of you and the reflection of our own hearts and our own lives. And I pray, Father, you'll take care of this and honor this and glorify your Son. We lift them up here to you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm so glad, like I said, to see each one of you here. And I hope the Lord really, truly blesses you with an insight and a touch from the Spirit of God. That's been my prayer. But I have a different message for you tonight, and I hope that you will appreciate it. So right now, the praise team is going to go ahead and sing, "It Is You."
Let's stand as we do this. It says, as we stand and lift up our hands. So let's praise the Lord.
Holy, holy is our God Almighty. Holy, holy is He.
This evening, as we reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross, I have a little interactive request of you in this service. The question is, who are you? You're saying, what has that got to do with Good Friday? And so what I'd like to ask is that you say this is the interactive part I'd like you to join me in. Who are you? You say, I am, and your name. Can you do that? Can you say, I am, and put your name? Let's do that. I am Terry Glover. Did you all do it? Did you say it? I am, and your name. You got it? It's important that you understand, okay? All right? So, I am Terry Glover, and you're you. I am. And I say that because in any language, The words I am are evident, right? And so what I want you to think about is that I want to tell you how to say I am in different languages, all right? Je suis is in French. Ego sum is in Latin. Imai is in Greek. Watashiwa. Watashiwa is in Japanese. Akoe is in Tagalog. Woshi is in Chinese. And Eye is in Hebrew. And Eye is the word that Jesus said when he was in the burning bush talking to Moses. When he was there, he said, Eye, Asher, Eye. And that's in Hebrew, but in English, of course, I am that I am. Now, why the exercise? Why the interaction? Well, guess what? You've linked your name, when you say I am Terry Glover, I am your name in place, you've got the I am linked to you. Every language says I am somewhere. And so it's a gift from God, because it's God's way of linking himself to people and reminding him of who he is. I am, and then your name. He's linked to you. We're created in his image. Look at Exodus 3, 14 through 15, okay? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. The great I am. The great I am. And so when I say I am Terry Glover and you say you are, you say I am so and so, we're going to just remember that the I am is connecting himself with us just through our language. So people groups say I am when introducing their name. They identify their existence to others. God in his love instilled his name into our specific language to point us to the great I am himself. I think that's just I never caught that before. And just thinking about it, he's saying in his gentle way, but in his consistent way, the I am is with you. And I am your God. And I am your creator. And I love that. I love that. So what has this got to do with our focus on the cross of Christ on Calvary on this Good Friday service? What is the great I am? What is the fact that I am connects to each one of us in our own language? What does that mean? When we say I am, we're linking, now listen carefully, we're linking God's name to us. Think about that for a moment. We're linking God's name to us. Who is God? He's God, creator, holy, righteous, just. I mean, we can go on and on about how great he is and who he is, and we link our name to God's name. But here's the issue. Even though I don't want to get ahead of myself, we've all been created in his image, right? So our existence is obviously linked to God. And this is where I started to get ahead of myself, but this poses a question. How can God's name, Eye, I am, okay, be linked to us when he is holy and we are unholy sinners? Does that reflect just the image of God's love for us? That in spite of who we are, he wants to be linked to us. And he created language, did he not? And the I am is in every language. And he wants to be linked to each one of us. So let me ask another question. Can you agree that you are sinful? Yeah. We all can. In fact, the Bible says if we say we're not sinners, we're deceiving ourselves, right? And so we're all sinful. Can we say, I am a sinner? We can say that. Well, we don't like saying that we're sinful. We don't like saying that we're a sinner. We don't like acknowledging that because that's a point of personal reflection. And we want to know that God is pleased with us. And when we see ourselves, we see how much we fall short of meeting God's holy standards, right? So he who is holy, has allowed us to be linked as sinners to the name of God. How can this be when he who is holy and we are not? You understand the dilemma there? How can it be that God who is holy can link himself with us who are sinners? When Jesus the Messiah was nailed to the cross for our sins were placed on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God, hello. Glad you're here. So, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He who is holy was sent from the Father and was made to be sin for us. That just sounds kind of crazy. Why would God do that? Why would God allow himself to become sin? He never knew sin. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. But he who knew no sin became sin that we might know him. Paraphrasing. So I want us to think about that before we go into this next song. But if you notice the mirrors on the cross, God allowed himself to be broken for us. God allowed himself to be broken for us. But to appreciate that, we have to see ourselves as sinners that have been touched by the great I Am, that have been given love and mercy and grace and forgiveness by the great I Am. And so we've got the red lights on the cross in the background because I want us to think about the fact that Jesus shed his entire body of blood. And he allowed it to flow freely. When I bleed, I don't like it. Right? We're not comfortable with that idea because it's threatening. But he, in his great love and his absolute resolved will, said, I'm going to allow myself to bleed out because my blood is what washes away your sin. And he's the perfect Lamb of God. He's the one that God the Father said, you are the way of redemption for mankind. You are the only hope to save sinful man from eternal judgment and separation from God. And he said, I will go to the cross as the Father wills. But remember when Jesus was in the garden as a man, 100% man, 100% God. He said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. That was his humanity talking. It wasn't a sin. It was just him saying, if there's any way that this can pass, because he knew the magnitude of what was going to take place. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And then the Father walked him all the way to the cross until he let go of him and turned his back on him. So when we listen to this song, and later, after we take of the Lord's Supper, I want you to, we're handing out the Lord's Supper, but when you have the juice cup in your hand, I want you to walk up and just look at the cross, maybe catch your reflection, maybe catch some of the red light in there representing his blood being shed for you and me, and then set the cup down on the table. Because we want to focus tonight as Good Friday on how great the great I Am is, how great his love is. And we cannot truly conceive the magnitude of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But he did it out of love that is immeasurable. And he allowed himself to be broken to become sin for us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on back up as we sing this next song. His life was so amazing, like the song said, that it demands our life and our all. The scriptures are plain. Scriptures say that we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are no longer our own. We belong to God. We have to be careful not to forget that. We are His children. We are saved. He's given us grace, and He's given us purpose, and He's given us mission. He's given us tremendous things in Him that we can know Him. But to live for Him, we must be willing to give up ourselves for Him. And remember that whenever we see our sin, whenever we feel that guilt, whenever we are going through whatever we go through, God knows all about it, because the scripture says that he's tempted by all sin, that it wasn't anything that he wasn't tempted by. And he did that because he wants us to know that he understands our human state. He understands the struggle. He understands the failures. He understands these things. He never fell in sin, but he knew the temptation and he knew the struggles. And so God is there to tell us, look, my son died for you, bore your sin, and knows what you go through so that we can relate to him personally, which means dying to ourselves and living for him. Because as that song said, and scripture will state the same, that our life belongs to him. He gave so much that it demands our all to be given back to him. Amen? Yeah. Having said that, have you ever felt a sense of condemnation? You know, I know for myself that there have been times when things that I've said or done that I just am just astounded, probably not the right word, a spiritual whiplash, if you will. Like, I did that? I don't believe, and I would come to the realization and say, that in of itself is my sinful nature rearing up. That's my sinful nature. And yet God knows all about it. And God still loves us. And he gave himself completely for us and wants us to give ourselves completely for him. So we have felt a sense of self-condemnation sometimes, right? Because we do see our own state of sinfulness. But when you do, look at the cross. Now listen carefully. Who will you see there? Who do you see when you look at the cross? First, Jesus, right? The great I am. Now we can stop there and say, I see Jesus on the cross, the great I am. But we need to understand that we are to see Jesus on the cross, the great I am, condemned. Condemned. For the Father, all mankind sin. You know, the guilt trips that we have because of our shortfalls in God, those guilt trips make us feel bad, but that guilt trip isn't anything compared to all the guilt of all of us, of all mankind, of all time, or ever will be already put on Christ at one time. It's something we can't comprehend. The great I am was condemned on the cross. He became sin so that we might know the righteousness of God in him. You will reflect on the reality of who you are and admit that I am guilty. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the right place to be. Because it's through acknowledging who we are in our own guilt that God gives grace. That God pours out his love, that God puts his arms out and hugs us and says, I know you, I love you, and I don't reject you, and I'm here to help you. Yet the great I am, Jesus, was made guilty in your place and mine. And guess what? We are no longer condemned. The great I Am was condemned with our sin put on him so that we who put our faith in him are no longer condemned. We have to remember, we are not condemned. We are set free from condemnation. We are no longer judged that way by God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Jesus wiped out our sins. He paid for our sins. When the Father sees us, he sees us through the shed blood of his Son applied to our faith in Christ. When in the Old Testament, when the Ark of the Covenant was there and the blood was poured over on top of the Ark and the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments were inside, it was a way of saying, you broke my laws, you broke my laws and you've sinned, but there's been atonement made for you. And when God, the Father, saw that blood on top of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, when he saw that, in the Old Testament, there was an appeasement, meaning that it was temporarily covered. But when Jesus died, God sees his blood applied to you and me. And when he looks at us, he sees us absolutely clean, without judgment, without condemnation. That's a gift from God. How great is our God that he could put himself on the cross and never sin, be broken for us, and shed his blood and die literally for us so that we cannot be condemned. And the hope that was set before him was that people would put their faith in him, and he knew who would receive him. He knew your name and my name. He knows who will receive him. That you and I, our name, who we are, literally was the hope that Jesus held on to on the cross. You and I, knowing that we would receive him, was his hope. He said, it's worth it. It's worth it for me to have this shame. It's worth it for me to have this pain. It's worth it for me to give my life. It's worth it for me to have all the condemnation when I've done nothing wrong. God condemned, the great I Am condemned, so that you and I can have forgiveness and new life in Jesus forever. He held on to that. And we can praise him and praise him and praise him for that. So when you're hurting, you will see the great I Am hurting. Or when you're broken or crushed, you will see the I Am broken and crushed. When you're rejected, you will see the I Am rejected. When you're at your end, finished, you will see the I Am finished. We must see the need for the great I Am, our Savior. We must see the need. Whatever we go through, Jesus says, I understand. And I endured that pain for you. Praise God for that. Praise God. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. But as they sing, they're going to finish the song, but most likely I won't be done with what I'm doing. But they can either continue playing some music until I'm done. That's up to them how they want to do that. So let me have them come up, and I'll get started on this. Thank you. Jesus was on the cross, water and blood came out of him, proving that he was dead. Because the water had separated from the blood. And I want us to remember, as we look at this, that Christ just died for us. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't lovely. And yet, how beautiful in our sight is our Savior who died for us. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so we can praise God for what he's done for us. I don't know if you can still see him in that picture, but I hope so. You saw him at one point, okay? But he just, in all humility and in all love, just bowed down on the cross and said, I've given my all for you and for me. Praise God for that. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you. Oops, better not go that way. God, who is holy, joined himself to your I am. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Every single human being that speaks his words knows that I am who I am. And he's linked himself to us as a mark that, in hopes that people will look to the great I am. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that. In 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. When you receive him as Savior and are joined to him, there is no more shame or darkness or death, nothing that can separate us from God's love. And we're to love him back. We're to love him back. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It simply means you're dying to yourself and you're living for God. You're no longer the one who's dictating what your life will be, but you're going to listen to God, the Holy Spirit, leading you in the path he wants you to go, to embrace the mission he has for you, to embrace the assignments that he gives you, to behold or to obtain the privilege of being able to represent him to a world that needs to know his love. When you receive him as Savior, praise God, we are joined to him. Up on the board, we're going to have a responsive reading, and that responsive reading is Jesus crucified. And so we'll get that up there. And I'd like you, I'll read the first part and you read the dark part. Okay, you're figured out. Okay, is it up there? And after they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and led him away to crucify him. They gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And at that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And saying, You who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we shall believe in him.
He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now. If he takes pleasure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God.
Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And some of those who were standing there when they heard it began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. He finished the work of paying for our sin. Praise God for that. When you look at this picture, as I was doing it, hopefully, initially, you could see the face of Jesus. Now you can barely see his face. Maybe you can see it a little bit, but I want you to understand something. When Mary, his mother, and the other two that were with her, we're looking at him on the cross. He had been beaten. His face was swollen. His beard was plucked out. The thorns were in his head. Blood was down, swelling. He was disfigured beyond recognition. Never paint the cross of Jesus as being beautiful. You know what I'm saying? But beautiful in what he gave us through his love. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask Steve to come up. And Don, we do have a song? We do have a song. Jesus Messiah, thank you.
Thank you. to you.